Hello and welcome to the Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective. Now, obviously, this week we won't be having any NRL games, but it is rep round. And to break it all down with me, I'll be joined on the line by Jacob. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. How you going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. It's been a wild week in sport, hasn't it?
That's it, mate.
Fun to be alive.
That's it. What a time. We were discussing whether or not to even do a pod this week, but there's still just so much to discuss. It's a good chance for us to do a little bit of a stock take, a bit of a pulse check on the whole NRL. So although we don't have best bets, we're still going to give a lot of handicapping breakdown of all 16 teams, how we think they're going, and how we're looking at betting them in the next, 16 rounds.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of news stories, obviously, that we'll break down as well. But we are a betting pod first and foremost, so we'll certainly delve into that as well. But, I mean, what a day. A couple of days ago, Eels losing all their points, and on top of that, Leicester winning the EPL. What a crazy week.
It has been. And I want to talk a little bit about NBA this pod as well. We're halfway through the NBA playoffs, and we've got our famous kickoff, our $1,000 bet, which we released last night, kind of the preliminary details, but we'll talk a little bit more about that too. But how about we begin with the footy we do have this weekend? As you said, it's rep round. So let's start talking with the test match on Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, Australia-New Zealand's the big one. And the odds have come up for that. I think Australia's moved up from 10.5-point favourites to 12.5. And I don't actually have the total in front of me here, but we can break it down anyway.
I said to you a week or two ago, Australia was $1.33 in this match and the line was about 8.5. And I said, Australia's winning this match. I mean, Australia always wins the mid-year test. New Zealand, if they had a full-strength side, if they had guys like RTS and Kieran Foran, for that matter, could be a different story. But you just look at these teams on paper. The Australian team, they haven't made any shock selections other than Radradra, but the fact is he's the best winger in the comp. But they just have that continuity, that back line, the halves of Cronk and Durston. You compare that to New Zealand with Tohu Harris in the halves. I know it's a lot of points. There's no way I can take the Kiwis.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. And you look at the rosters, and I mean, like you said, Tohu Harris at 5'8". Sean Johnson is a monster, but you look down the rest of the lineup, there's nothing too great there, and that Australian lineup is absolutely beastly. They've got all the experience there. Obviously, Inglis aging a little bit, but Radradra on the wing is an absolute monster. Blake Ferguson, he's slotting into wing. He's a monster as well. So, look, this... You know, the test, Australia dominates this test, but the problem is it's 12.5 points, it's more than two converted tries, and, you know, in betting we have, I don't think, ever laid 12.5 points over 500 best bets that we've given out, so I don't think we're going to start now.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you wanted to lay the points with Australia, you had to have gotten on a week ago, even a week ago, as you said, 10.5, but a week and a half ago it was 8.5. The outside backs are too good. It's probably, we can't give you much more than just saying Australia is a pretty safe bet to win. I know people are going to look at it and think, oh, surely it'll be close. Surely New Zealand will turn up. And maybe they do put in a good fight for 60, but with these outside backs, and maybe you'll see what you think about Radradra as well. But so easily these games can get ugly. So I don't think we have a best bet. But I mean, just one question for you. Are you happy Radradra's there? What's your opinion on that?
Oh, mate, I don't know. The bloke's come out and he said, look, he's loved Australia his whole life. His dad's come out with a heartfelt letter and he's saying it's about the money for him, which is, I guess, fair enough. They come from a poor area. He's been able to, afford his family nice things, buy him a house, buy his dad an $80,000 car and all that sort of thing. So, look, honestly, I don't have a huge problem with it.
Yeah, for me, he is the best winger in the comp, and look, it's a farcical system. He can play for Australia, he can't play Origin. I don't like it, but I mean, think about some of the guys that we've lost to rugby league in the last few years, guys like Jared Hayne, Israel Folau. If you don't let these guys make as much money as they can in our sport, they're going to find a new sport, and ultimately I'd rather be able to watch this guy play. He's so electric, and I get to watch him play on Friday night. It's a can of worms when you start letting international players play Origin. If you let him play, then every, second Kiwi star is going to claim they're Australian so they can play Origin, and we'll have State of Origin with a bunch of Pacific Islanders and Kiwis playing, and that wouldn't be the same. So it is a slippery slope, but I'm happy enough Semi's playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I've got a Semi for Semi, mate. What about City Country, mate? You got any thoughts?
Not really, mate. Obviously not full-strength sides. A lot of people sort of got niggling injuries and just not wanting to play, obviously, with NRL coming up next week. But it seems as though Country always sort of puts up a bit more fight and they've got a bit more heart because they play it out in the sticks, obviously. But, look, anything can happen with this sort of... It's not a second-grade team, it's second-rate players. So I'm not going to touch it from a betting perspective.
Yeah, last line I saw Country are favoured by 6. And you're right, like, looking at the lineups, they're scrap touch and go to even call them NRL sides. I mean, they're not even probably as strong as some other NRL sides, is what I'm trying to say. There's so many blokes that have pulled out with injury, and there's guys that they know they're going to select for Origin, because it used to be an Origin trial. Now I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure how much the players care. I know a lot of them do still care, and you would have players on the City team that are trying to state their case for rep footy. And it's interesting looking at those lineups. The Country team, I really don't rate the back line, but they've picked a monster forward pack, whereas the City side has a lot of talented back rowers. I mean, they picked half the Panthers team, which doesn't do my Panthers futures any favours.
No.
I prefer those guys out of red. So I
definitely
can only look to City plus 6. We're probably going to watch it on a Sunday arvo with, you know,
we're
missing footy this weekend. That's the only way I could look. Whether or not it's best bet worthy, we probably can't decide now. This is just our first reactions. We can talk a little later in the week.
Definitely. But let me tell you something as well. You should be watching these games because half the time there will be a key injury or something like that. And, I mean, coming out of the Australian or New Zealand side, any injury there, they're going to be key players for their NRL side. So sometimes, you know, they leave the odds for the next round's NRL up during the game, and you can jump on, you know, something like that if a Thurston or, you know, someone like that gets injured. So keep
an eye
out.
Yeah, good call. You know, imagine a Kronk or a Sean Johnson injury. You could put a fork in those teams right then and there, and we will talk about those teams moving forward. Before we break down all 16 teams, mate, Leicester City, 5,000-1 underdogs to begin the year. They have won the Premier League with 2 rounds to go, mate. It's unbelievable stuff.
It's just crazy. And people are saying that 5,000-1 odds are unbelievable. But just to put it in perspective, that is so crazy in a league where essentially you don't have a salary cap. And for decades upon decades, there has been the same 4 or 5 teams that just rotate through whoever wins the EPL. And I mean, when you look at this, Leicester, only a few years ago, was not even second div. They were third division. And they, you know, they got relegated from second division down. They worked their way up. And then last year, they were nearly relegated from the EPL. They had to win 7 out of their last 9 games just to stay in the Premier League. They're a team with hardly any money. They're absolute scrubs. I mean, their main sponsor is a fucking a duty-free company from Thailand that pays 1.3 mil. Their sponsorship, jersey sponsorship from them is worth 1.3 mil. You compare that to someone like Man United, who's sponsored by Chevrolet, they pay 75 mil. And I mean, their best player this year, the striker Vardy, I don't know if you heard about this. He got in a bar fight a little while back, and he had to fucking wear an ankle bracelet on his foot. And half, like, not a majority of the season, but for some of the, early on in the season, he was only able to play half the games because he had to fucking jump over the fence, hop in his parents' car, and get back home before curfew. And the team won the EPL.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we want to talk about it from a bookmaking point of view rather than, you know, we're no soccer experts. But look, if there's any bookies out there crying about paying out on 5,000-1, like, don't worry about them. I mean, every single year, you said it, there's only, you said 4 or 5, that's generous. I mean, there's usually only 2 or 3 teams that can win the Premier League, but you have all these diehard fans that chuck $50 on their own team, you know, all your Middlesbroughs and Evertons and West Broms and whatever, every single year, and that's just printing money for the bookies when people put future bets on those sides at long odds. And, I mean, even this year,
right,
they paid out at big odds on Leicester, but what about all the big money bets they took on your Man Cities and your Man Uniteds and your Chelseas? So the bookies are fine. How did it happen?
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
You said it. They won 7 of the last 9 games last year. They were 5 points adrift at the bottom of the league. It was miraculous to stay up. I did read a little bit about how did they actually win this title, and I don't want to take much away, but they were extremely healthy, which, you know, you have to have luck to win the Premier League. So they have very few injuries to key players. That helps. The amount of points they're going to end up with to end the season this year is going to be one of the lower totals it's taken to win the league. So none of the other superpowers really had a great year, which they can't control how their, you know, how their rivals play, but none of their rivals had a gangbuster year. So, you know, that gives
you a
good chance. They had an extremely good record in close matches. So any match decided by 1 or 0 goals, they were taking more than 2 points on average out of those matches. And when you consider you get 1 point for a draw and 3 for a win, I mean, you should be taking somewhere around 1.25 points out of these matches. They were taking something like 2.25. So not to get too mathematical, but that's not a sustainable clip either, winning close games. But hey, you know, luck is what happens when opportunity meets preparation. So they've fought hard, and it's a fantastic story for sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just to add to that, from a bookie's perspective, look, yeah, I know they're having a big cry about paying out a few tiny bets on Leicester. I think the biggest bet that I heard was maybe $20. But think about how much money they're going to make in the future off this. People aren't going to forget that a 5,000-to-1 underdog won the English Premier League. And for years and years to come, there's going to be so many more people betting on those little teams, you know, your beer bets, your $10, your $50, your $100 on them to win the Premier League. And I don't know if we'll ever see it happen again in our lifetime.
We really may not. I mean, just a final closing thought to put it in perspective. This would be like our mate, the Bareback Bandit, going home with a girl he's never met before and wrapping up.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that would be equivalent odds, I would say.
I would not expect that to happen in our lifetime again.
Equivalent odds would also be one of us making all of our kicks in the kickoff.
Yeah, you can say that again. Let's go back to the NRL, mate, and let's start at the bottom. We have, you know, 8-9 matches in. It was a pretty good sample size to kind of judge the teams, and we like to keep an idea of who's overrated, who's underrated, look a little deeper at the results rather than just where they're placed on the ladder. So who's at the bottom? It's the Newcastle Knights, right? We'll save the Eels for the position that they, you know, are currently in until those points come off.
Sure. So we'll start with the Knights.
Okay. So we want to play a game called "Are we sure they're bad?" Are you sure the Knights are bad?
Yes, absolutely. They are absolutely dreadful, and without Mullen, they are absolutely horrendous. Not a very good backline. No go forward at all. They're rightfully favoured for the wooden spoon.
Yeah, I think I touched on it last week. Just not a deep team, and they have injuries to key players, so you really got to be careful betting on this side as the season goes on.
Definitely. Next up, the Roosters.
Are you sure they're bad?
Well, no, I'm not sure they're bad, and they're certainly not as bad as their record would suggest. They'll be in 14th spot now, obviously, after the Eels lose their points, but, man, good solid win last week. I know it's just against the Knights, but they're starting to get those key players back, and when that team's ticking, man, they could go on a run here, and they could certainly make the 8, I think.
Yeah, I actually tipped them to make the 8 this year, and I knew Cordner and Pierce and Maria Hargraves were out, and I still thought they'd scrape into the 8. And look, they did leave a few wins on the table against Manly and Raiders earlier in the year. They really could be a lot higher. It's going to be a tough ask to get all the way up to 8, although the Eels did just vacate one spot. But yeah, you've got to treat this team like a top 6 side in terms of talent and in terms of motivation. They've got the band back together, and they are hungry. So let's be careful. This is a side we've got to look to bet on in the next few weeks.
That's the thing, yeah. They're hungry as anything. Every single game is a grand final to them from here on out, or they're not making the 8. So you have to look at that as well. Huge motivation for them down the stretch. Next up, Tigers.
Look, no, they're not bad when healthy. They just signed my boy Elijah Taylor, who I actually thought was a star back. He fell out of favour in New Zealand. He fell out of favour in Penrith. So I don't know if there's issues off the field there. But it's injuries again. Tedesco broke his shoulder last week in the win. against Bunnies. Aaron Woods has a serious ankle injury. This team, again, similar to the Knights, they're not deep. And when you have injuries to key players, you really don't want to put money on them if you can avoid it.
Yeah, Matt, you said it all. Good signing with Elijah Taylor. And you see our post on Facebook. No, there was old mate on Twitter that said he was going to post, Tigers need to sign Elijah Taylor every day until they did. And then they did. And the Tigers did did respond to that, which was pretty funny. But, mate, you said it all. They need Tedesco. They need Woods. They need Simone. And they need all those players healthy. They need Moses healthy, Brooks. But they're just not all healthy. And when they're not, that team is a shambles. Next up, the Rabbits.
This is a tough one because you just don't know what's going on behind the sheds. They were abysmal in the first 20 minutes against the Tigers last week, and we were happy about that because we took the Tigers expecting them to bounce back from that 60-point loss. But there's no excuse for the effort, and it's not only the effort, it's the key players there. GI really seems to be a step slower this year again. He's nowhere near the guy he was 4 years ago. Even Sammy Burgess hasn't really impressed me. You got to be wary of these guys. The talent is there, but it's a side that I'm not really willing to put my money on unless I really feel that I'm going to get a heartfelt performance out of them.
Yeah, definitely. And just over the last few weeks, you just do not know whether you're going to get a good performance out of them or at least try. Like the first 2 weeks, they looked unstoppable. And then, you know, they just absolutely fall flat in some of these games, like against the Roosters. They just look like poo. Against the Tigers, they just didn't show up. And you're right, GI is definitely, definitely not the player that he once was. I don't know if it's just age getting to him. But half the time, this team doesn't seem like they care. And until I sort of see, you know, some actual heart out of this team, I've got them missing the eight. Next up, Dragons.
No, again, they're not bad, but again, they are not very deep. It's not a side that I think can make the eight. I think Sunday was the perfect example. If they can't go and beat a New Zealand team missing about 10 first graders, then they're not top eight worthy. And we didn't think the Dragons would be top eight worthy to begin the year. You can bet on this side when healthy. In the right spot, there are, you know, a couple of bright spots in this team. I still think Widdup is a great leader. There's a couple of hustling and bustling forwards on this team. Obviously, Dugan is a monster, but it's not deep enough to really make the eight, I don't
think. No, I totally agree with you. I think they're not going to be there come finals time, but Benji certainly passed his prime. And, you know, whether he's in the lineup or not, I don't think it makes a hell of a lot of difference, to be honest. Dragons, certainly an under team. We've made a lot of money betting the unders with them. They just have a decent defense, and they can sort of hang in the game, but just struggle too much to put on points, and you need to be able to do that in this league. Next up, the Warriors.
Another team that you just cannot predict from week to week, but I'm going to lean towards the bad. They've got issues in the locker room as well. They've got issues with the coach. We said this last week with Lola Hare and Mannering injured. I mean, I'll go back all the way to week one. Losing Ben Henry was a big loss in the second row of this team. Of course, they lost RTS since then, and we had question marks over how good they really were to begin with. So, again, it's not a side I'm rushing to the betting window to bet on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I mean, we had our doubts at the start of the season because we were worried about, you know, how Isaac Luke and, you know, Johnson and RTS would gel. And just as we thought they were starting to gel, RTS gets injured for the season. And, yeah, like you said as well, key players out. Mannering, Lola here, who's underrated. They're going to be on a slide, I think. And then in ninth spot are the Seagulls.
That's another tricky team too. And I made a point earlier in the year that I really do question how good Cherry Evans is. I never thought he was worth $10 million, and I don't think he's as good as the hype had built him up to be in the last couple of years, and I think that's been shown with four and out. But then, you know, other guys stepped up, guys like Coruscant and Parcell stepped up, and this team won a couple games without Cherry Evans, and they did recruit well in the forward pack. Tapau is a monster. But it's the back line that worries me with Stewart and Jamie Lyon and other guys as well, like Stevie Mattai and Tafua. They're all kind of on the back nine. So I don't love this team. Again, I'll look for spots, but I probably think this team just misses the eight.
They should be better than they are, shouldn't they, really, with the roster that they have. It's not a terrible roster. How about that dive from Jamie Lyon over the weekend? God, that's absolutely terrible. And call that a note, and that's for another day anyway, fucking bunker. Look, this team should be better than they are. Their defense is actually good. But in saying that, yeah, Cherry Evans just, he doesn't look like the same player he was a couple years back. Tapau is a monster, but other than that, you know, not a whole lot there from the Seagulls. But, I mean, with the Eels sliding out of the eight, it opens up another spot. So, look, they might scrape into the eight, in my opinion. But that's the bottom eight teams, mate. So, should we move straight on to the top eight?
Yeah, I mean, you do make a good point. And isn't it, maybe Manly can be right there on the edge of the eight. And isn't it funny that Jamie Lyon retired the same week that he was all over the internet with that dive? What a way to be remembered.
Oh, man. And he seems like a decent bloke, you know, but fuck me, Dad. This is the thing. This diving happens when people get away with it and you get a pen out of it. It's happened in every single sport. You saw it happen in soccer, and it's terrible there. You see it happen in the basketball now. With players, you know, taking a dive. But in the NBA, they stamped it out fairly well when they just look over it after the game, and just if they see that you took a dive, bam, you get a fine. And I don't see why that shouldn't be implemented in the NRL.
I agree with you, mate. Yeah, it's become a bit of a joke.
All right, moving on to the top eight. One of our favourite teams, the Penny Panthers.
Are we sure they're good? I'm sure. Again, not a complete performance, not a totally convincing win. They didn't cover the line, but they led by 18 points to 6 against the Raiders. This team, you have to treat them like a top four side in my mind. I think they're extremely talented. Guys like Bryce Cartwright's playing the house down. Moylan's gelling in this team. I'm hoping Moylan doesn't make Origin, and that makes this team very dangerous over the middle weeks of the season. Yeah, for me, I still think this team is right there, top four quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this team will definitely be making the eight. They're not going to lose a lot of players through the Origin period. Obviously, Fowey needs to step up his defense, but his kicking game has been very good. And they have played a lot of close games this year. And a lot of those close games they have actually lost. But, I mean, you turn those few around. And, I mean, they beat the Broncos at the end of the day. They came from behind in that one. They've got the talent there. And we'll certainly be looking to bet on the Panthers throughout the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, if you're a bit unlucky in close games, that's one thing. But the other important fact, I'm not just saying Panthers are good and just being stubborn. There is actually other reason for it. I should have said, look at their first nine games. They have played the toughest draw of anyone in the comp. They've played the Cows, the Broncos, the Sharks, the Bulldogs. They've played Raiders a couple of times. That isn't a bad side, you know. They've played the toughest slate by far, so that's something you have to consider as well, that they'd be a bit higher on the ladder if they'd been able to pad their record with some games against Knights and Titans and things like that, but it hasn't been the case.
Yeah, exactly right. And a lot of bettors will just look at the game and say, like, oh, we've got, you know, the number six team on the ladder playing number 12. Just blindly bet the team that's higher on the ladder, but that's where you need to delve a little bit deeper sometimes and look at the matchups through the start of the season. The Raiders.
Are we sure they're good?
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I'm not sold on them, mate. Look, high hopes coming into the season, obviously, with Caesar and Austin in the halves. Blake Austin gone now. And look, to be honest with you, they can play some flashy games, but at the end of the day, I watch them play and nothing sort of jumps out at me. They don't pass the eye test for me. In my opinion, they're not going to be there at the end of the day in the finals, I think. So I'll be looking to bet against the Raiders. I think the hype's a bit too much for them, and I think, you know, they've been outperforming their roster.
This is one I might have to disagree with you on. You said Austin's out, but I think he did make a last-minute return last week, And with the week off, I think he should be back in the fold. Yeah, they're not super flashy, but there is a lot of talent in the outside backs, unheralded guys like Whiten and Rapana. And they're kind of, you know, that can work in your favour as a better team that doesn't blow anyone away, doesn't look all that flashy, but they do fight hard. The forwards are underrated too. Guys like Vaughan and Boyd, they're not, you know, your household names yet, but they are quality players. And we spoke at the start of the year, this team has one of the easier schedules in terms of days off between games and playing the a number of teams that made the finals last year. I actually think the Raiders will make the eight now.
That's one we might have to disagree on. Anyway, Bulldogs.
Yes, I am sure they're good. And I know that they shat the bed on the second half last Friday night, but it was against the spirited Eels team. And, you know, in the first half, I still felt the Dogs were in control. But we need to be careful a little bit. I think they've got a few Sunday games coming up. They'll lose Hopewadi, which is a real shame. He is a really talented outside back for them. But, no, for me, still a team that can win the comp. Am I wrong?
Look, you're probably not wrong. Like I said, there's probably six or so teams that can win the comp, but I think they're definitely towards the lower end of those teams. Honestly, I don't think they're as good. The Broncos and the Cowboys are on a different level to everyone else, obviously.
Yeah, agreed.
But I still think the Bulldogs, roster-wise, they are very, very solid. But until I see, you know, a complete performance from them over a number of weeks, they just... Usually the Dogs are the kind of team you just hate playing. They just get into the grind with you. They turn up every single week. They're just solid, little mistakes, and they just beat you down in the forwards. But late, you know, like you look at last week, they just did not show up at all. And that has happened a few weeks this year. So, look, talent-wise, I think they're going to definitely be there at the end. They're going to be in the finals. But it's just whether they bring their A game, which I haven't seen a whole lot of this year. Let's go with the Eels.
We've got to be conscious of time here. From a betting perspective, everyone's had their opinions about this team. From a betting perspective, I want to make this point clear. Put them on the bottom of the ladder. They've mathematically figured out they need to probably win 12 of their last 15 games. Now, are they going to? Probably not. But I'll tell you what, this news article came out today that Foran may be back as early as the next game. That's definitely going to be a lift. And look, if the team believes they can, I feel like this team is going to play with a chip on their shoulder. I think this really can have a galvanising effect. And we said from the start of the year the Eels were a top four team in terms of talent. I think I picked them to come fourth or fifth this year. That's such a killer blow. And what I would say is that, actually, I looked at the schedule, and between now and round 17, they have two byes, and their toughest game is probably away to Bunnies or at home to Storm, which I don't think either of them are very tough games. They also get the Titans and the Knights in that stretch. So they really could take 14 points from the next seven rounds. And then, you know, then they would need seven of the last 10. So this team could end up being a freight train. On the other hand, if they lose a couple of close games, it could all fall apart. So very interesting one to watch.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think it, you know, it could go one of two ways. It could bring the team together, and that a few players have come out and said sort of, oh, you don't want to play us, you know, you don't want to play us next week. We're going to be so angry, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, oftentimes that does happen. And I think over the next few weeks, especially if they get a roll on and win a couple games, three games in a row, they will be dangerous. Because then they've got that belief that they can actually do it. They've set the goal. It's about 11 or 12 games out of the next 15. They've got a goal in mind. But I think as soon as they drop that fourth game, they're mathematically out of it, then we'll certainly look to bet against them.
Absolutely
demoralising.
And the other point is that they have to prove they're under the cap from this point forward to earn points. And that could mean cutting players. And I think the logical guy they'll cut is Anthony Watmoney. But they may have to cut other guys like Paolo. And there's even talk Radradra may not be able to fit under the cap. So, I mean, that's a different story if they do lose key personnel. We'll see.
It seems strange that they're talking about Radradra, because what do they need to cut? 570 grand, something like that, they're over? Surely they could cut just a few guys and they'd get to keep, you know, Radradra and all that sort of thing with them. Obviously, Watmo's the obvious choice, but how easy is it to cut some bloke and you need to pay him out, I guess, a fairly hefty amount.
Did you like that? What money?
Yeah, that's a good one. That was a good one.
Who's next?
Sharkies.
Okay, are you sure they're good?
I am. They're legit. I know they beat the Broncos last week with the Broncos roster that was missing a few guys, but man, they're solid. Forward pack solid. And I think they're just a solid team. They're putting in good performances week after week. And I actually put some of my own money on them to be halftime leaders through the NRL season at 7-1. I looked at the schedule and the teams above them, Storm, Bronx, Cowboys, they all play each other over the next few weeks. And I think the only tough game that the Sharks have in there is in week 13. I think they play the Doggies, but that'll be the Sharks coming off a bye as well. So I rate the Sharks. I think they're all right.
Yeah, when you say halftime, you mean leading the comp after 13 rounds.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not crazy, mate. I agree with you. It's a good team, and it's very good defensively. They always have been. But the issue in the past has been the ability to put on points. They would have never won a shootout and scored 30 points against a top-of-the-ladder side in years past. This is a different side that can score now. And, yeah, I've come around. I kind of was treating them like a fringe eight side, where now I feel they're a fringe top four side.
Yeah, definitely. I actually think I think they'll be in the fourth come year's end. So, next up, the Storm.
Are we sure they're good? I'm going to tell you, I'm sure they're not. And this is a perfect example of where we can make money. We said it last week. Let's hope that they get a good win against the Titans, and it will just continue to overinflate the public's opinion of them. I've looked really closely at their first 9 games. 7 wins. Sounds good. It's the same as the best as anyone else has done in the comp, right? But let's look a little closer at those 7 wins. They got the Warriors twice. They got the Titans twice. They played the Dragons. They played the Knights. They've only played 2 good teams this whole year. Who was it? The Sharks and the Bulldogs, and those were the 2 games they lost. They haven't played really anybody else that can win the comp. And not only that, they've lost a couple of key players. Obviously lost Slater to start the year, now lost Will Chambers, and other guys like Corabidi along the way. You know that Smith and Kronk are going to be playing Origin. They could pick up an injury there. They're going to miss a game here or there. It's a perfect storm to bet against them.
Nice one. Perfect storm. Good work. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And if you listened to us at the very beginning of last year, you would have heard us say we didn't really like the Storm to make the 8, and obviously they did. They surprised a lot of people. I think they finished top 4. But this team's aging, getting older, and most of their star players are certainly past their peak, and you're always going to get a solid performance out of them, any Craig Bellamy coach team you are. But the talent it's not quite there, and like you said, they've lost a few of their key players, a few of their young guns, and against these upper echelon teams, I would not back the Storm with my life. So I think they probably will sneak into the 8, but I think certainly a team that we're going to be looking at betting against over the coming weeks, because I think their ladder position is higher than what they should be, I guess.
Definitely agreed.
Broncos.
We don't need to spend too long on this. I think we both agree. If everything goes well for them, it's absolutely a top two team, and it is a top two team on talent. But with, you know, a lot of key Origin players in this side, I guess be cautious that they will get a little bit worn down and they will be short on troops, you know, in a couple of games there. And I still think they'll definitely find themselves in the 4, but no guarantee they'll be top two. They're not unbeatable as they've looked in past weeks, but still a rock-solid side.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, they're a top-two side. I think they're probably roster-wise. I think they're rightful favourites for the premiership. When they get all their troops back, this team is deadly. They can put on points. They get a roll. They get a lot of go forward. Halves are gelling. They're getting better every year, unlike, you know, the Storm, who are getting slightly worse every year. But this team will be, yeah, right there or thereabouts, top two, top four at the end of the season. Cowboys, round it off.
And this is the best team in the comp, as far as I'm concerned. We've spoken about it before, so I won't harp on, but exceptional forward pack, the best forward pack for me, and the outside backs are really doing well this year, and you don't have to say much about Jonathan Thurston that hasn't already been said. So same story, I think top two with no injuries guaranteed, and even if they, you know, have a few stumbles, it's still a top four side, you know, almost as a minimum.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Certainly a top two side. No premiership hangover for the Cowboys, which you do often see. And I think a large reason for that is they've been able to keep their core group together and they've been able to keep them healthy. We've seen it time and time again with these different teams. You know, it takes a while when you get players injured, when you make trades in the off-season. It takes a while for them to gel, but they've been able to keep the same playing group together, the same 17 together for almost 2 years now. And that's what makes them, yes, certainly one of the main premiership contenders, and rightfully so.
That's it, mate. Look, I know we've gone over time. We were going to talk NBA, and we've been killing it with our best bets in the NBA. The playoffs are on at the moment, but we might have to save that for another day. Maybe just give us your finals pick.
Finals pick. I still do have, obviously now, it hasn't really changed. I've got the Cavs progressing from the East. I think there's no real team in the East that can really challenge them. And in the West, look, it all depends on Curry, really, doesn't it? I still have the Spurs progressing over OKC, which I, you know, think that you disagree on. But honestly, they're saying that Curry could be back as early as Game 3. Now, whether that's true or not, I think the Warriors need to get Curry back, you know, at least one game against Portland to sort of get him back into the groove of things. But Steve's back for the conference finals. I cannot see OKC or the Spurs rolling over the top of them. Sorry.
Yeah, mate. Well, I agree with you. I think the Cavs are the pick in the East, although don't sleep on the Hawks. I put my bets on Oklahoma City when I heard the news about Curry. And at that stage, they said he was out at least 2 weeks. And then within a couple of days, oh, what do you know? He's picking up his teammate and throwing him in the air in celebration. He's jumping around. He looks like his knee's better than ever. Yep. So I think Curry's back. I'm assuming he's fully healthy, or he will be by the Western Conference Finals. But I don't care. I'm taking OKC. They now have home court against the Spurs. Kevin Durant is a tall, skinny Michael Jordan, okay? And until people understand that, they're not going to understand why this Oklahoma City team has a chance to be really special. It's just going to take a few of the other role players to do their job, which I think they can. And I think they even can beat Golden State. So I've said this, you know, a few weeks ago, not just saying it on the back of the win yesterday. I think the Thunder can win it all.
I cannot bet on a team. I cannot bet on a team to win it all when Dion Waiters is jacking up shots. He is fucking horrendous.
He had a good second half yesterday, I'll say that. Look, we can't spend much more time on NBA. Sometimes you and I disagree on things. That's all right. We disagreed on who is the more talented goal kicker. I was watching the Sharkies Broncos, and you made the comment that you could kick better than Corey Parker. And the funny part was that I actually didn't disagree with you, but I said I could probably kick really well, and you said that you were fairly certain you could kick better than me. And, well, when you run your mouth like that, mate, that's how bets start. And I think you actually said you'd be willing to bet four figures that you could bet that you could kick goals better than me. So, you know, we've landed on a $1,000 bet.
That's how it started. That's how it started. This is going to be happening next Sunday, so keep your eye out for it. We're going to be running promos on our Facebook page. I still honestly think that I will beat you in this one. It'll be all videoed and everything, but there's a chance for you guys, for the listeners, to win as well on our Facebook page. So you'll have to pick who wins and by the margin, but we'll release that later, and we'll both have some promo videos coming out soon enough to give you a bit of a glimpse of our talent.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm a warm favourite. I really, you know, people have said for years that I might be a bender, and I really can bend it like Beckham, mate.
Yeah.
But we're planning on doing about five kicks, I think, kind of sideline to sideline. Anything can happen. That's a small sample size, so it's going to be close. One of us is going to lose $1,000, but everyone that gets behind it is going to have the chance to win up to $100, as you said, by predicting who they think is going to win. And we're going to promote this a little bit more with some videos kind of stating our case. We've got a partner, Punter, on board. Check them out. It's like a social betting app where you can bet your mates on things just like this. It doesn't have to be for a grand. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be fun, and it's definitely going to be intense, mate.
It'll be fun for one person. The missus already said that I bet not lose. And I said, what'll happen if I do lose? And she said, I might just go off with Jacob.
Yeah, well, that could up the stakes. We could throw Ken's in the mix. I don't know what I'd be able to offer. I've got, like, some burnt DVDs of the in-betweeners or something. I could throw that in to the mix as well.
That could be all right. So there'll be a lot more than $1,000 on the line for both of us, it seems. But pride, mostly.
That's the more important thing, mate. That money's a drop in the ocean, but I don't want to lose to you, especially on a big scale seen by a lot of people. That's going to take a long time to live down. We better let people go. Thanks for listening so far. I hope you learned a lot about our thoughts on the 16 NRL teams. Enjoy the limited footy this weekend. You got anything else to say, mate?
Nah, mate, that'll probably be it. Obviously, we've got best bets that we'll be releasing, whether it be on the rep round or whether it be on the NBA. We've been killing it in the NBA as well. So we've got one that's going on now. So I'll have to get off the phone and check on the score, but certainly make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and check out our new website, which will be hosting the pods as well. It's tripodbetting.com.
That's it, mate. And as always, please
gamble
responsibly.